As an outsider, we're going to find out with travel agent Max Nasia a little later.
ABC News with Rachel Merritt. Good afternoon.
With you, and in a moment, if you have a dual UK and Australian citizenship and plan to travel back to the UK around about this time, you'll know that it's been exceedingly frustrating and worrisome with the changes to the UK entry system, which were announced pretty with not very much time to go, and getting it all ready in time has been incredibly difficult. So if you were one of those, let me know, how did it go for you? What that is. For the last couple of months, you've probably been aware, either peripherally or acutely, about controversial new border rules for dual UK Australian citizens, which came into effect today. This pressure point moment for so many people, today is the day. This is despite calls from dual citizens and the travel industry and everybody, please, begging the UK government for a delay in implementation. So what does this mean for you? Max Nasia is a travel agent at Axis Travel with decades of experience. Again, have you ever seen anything like what has happened with the UK passport debacle, Max?
No, it's quite ridiculous. They did give us warning at the end of last year they're going to come up with new rulings, but they're still rushing it through. The cost of the equation is ridiculous. The implementation is not clear. Even the consulates, the ambassadors are not clear, and I can expand on that in a minute. And the delays in getting a new UK passport, if you needed to get one, is between 4 weeks at the moment and 8 weeks. So if you're going next week or next month, whatever, and we'll expand on that as well, you're not going to get it in time. The only advantage we've had in the last 48 hours, say 24 hours, is that two parliamentarians have actually gone to the Prime Minister in the United Kingdom and saying, look, can you try and delay this a bit or at least change the rulings? That hasn't come through yet. We don't know what's happening there. And the second one is Qantas have agreed, although this is what they're agreeing to, and I'll expand on that, to allow passengers to board the airline if they don't have a valid UK passport, which is what the UK government want. Qantas will allow carriage, that means they'll take you, if you have an expired UK passport in your hand and a valid, say, for example, Australian or New Zealand passport. So they will allow carriage, which sounds impressive, doesn't it? But here's the problem. In the fine print, the UK government says, at the discretion of the immigration officer, we will allow you to enter the country. So although carriage can be taken with Qantas, is still not a 100% guarantee that when you arrive there, they will allow you to enter.
Oh, that is a gamble, Max. Have you had anyone try that?
Yes, we've got people cancelling already. We've got people delaying it. Very upset clients. And the other important part, I think, is travel insurance. Some people think, oh, you know, I didn't get the visa or I can't get the passport in time. No, the travel insurance suppliers have actually got a clause in most policies, PDSs, that says you need to take reasonable care and steps to obtain your visas and passports validity and et cetera, et cetera. Now, today's only Wednesday, though, and the problem is that it's just starting, in fact, in about 12 hours' time, this new regulation. So it's too early to say on radio whether or not people have been really affected. Because you know what I mean? We're just 24 hours, probably 12 hours before to actually implement it.
So if anyone left yesterday, they're probably fine.
Yeah, well, yes, well said. That's well said. And don't forget, we are very insular. We're thinking from Australia, forget it. We're talking about people coming in from Europe to England, from America, Canada, Asian countries. Imagine that. So there's a lot of people involved. And it gets really messy, too, if I can just expand on that. If you're born in Macau or Hong Kong or British areas such as, for example, and this has happened to one of our clients, in a British military camp in Germany, which is British-owned, but it's not on British territory, it's on German territory, are you considered a British citizen there or not? And these are examples which I really don't think the parliamentarians and the lawmakers in the UK have looked at all the different permutations of this. It's crazy.
Oh, gosh.
People living in Macau, are they allowed to go in because they were before China took over in Hong Kong is a good example. Are they allowed to get enter with a UK passport? Do they have citizenship of the UK? So it gets quite deep.
I'm a little bit hung up on your client that was born at a British military camp in Germany.
Yes.
Yes. What a remarkable story that person must have. Linda's from Sandy Creek. Have you been caught up in this debacle, Linda?
Not myself personally, but three of my daughters have. They wanted to renew their British passport, and in order to get that, they need the birth certificate of their father. Now, the thing is, they've been estranged from their father for 10 years. But the mother's passport, my passport, I mean, my birth certificate, sorry, I gave birth to those children, and my birth certificate is not worth the paper it's written on for them to get their passport. They've had to write to the Birth, Death and Marriages in England where my ex-husband was born. They will not send that documentation out of the country. So they've had to get it sent to an aunt in England who has then forwarded on that information to my girls.
What a nightmare. What a nightmare, Linda.
I've got my birth certificate like in my hand, and they will not recognise me as giving birth to those children or being a British citizen.
Isn't that infuriating, being a woman in this kind of system, Linda?
I think it's disgraceful. What happens if the father was a sperm donor and you don't know who he is?
Exactly. I mean, that's just one of the many examples that you could put forward. Linda, thank you for that. Max?
Yeah, and to amplify that, it gets worse. We actually have people living in, say, for example, in South Australia in Salisbury, Elizabeth. They don't even know if their mum and dad were British citizens or had citizenship. It gets worse. They don't even know if their grandparents have got the ability to get a UK passport. So it's things like some people, and quite honestly, they don't know. They actually don't know. And to go and try and get a birth certificate from England, as the previous caller said, takes time. To apply for a passport takes time. And then you've got the costs. I mean, the costs are ridiculous. So if you don't get a British passport, which only costs about, say, 190 Australian dollars, say 200 bucks, you have to get what they call, say, I don't want to get a British passport, boys and girls, I've got an Australian passport, then you can go for what they call a certificate of entitlement. And that costs 1,100 Australian dollars.
Lordy.
And that's crazy stuff. And then you say, I want to renounce my UK citizenship, you have to pay $968 Australian. It's ridiculous. It's actually easier for me or to you just to arrive in the country, and it's cheaper than somebody who's born in the UK.
Well, this text says, my wife is not a UK citizen, but her parents were, so she had to get that certificate of entitlement.
Yes.
Even though she's
yes.
only ever been an Aussie, never left Australia before, says this text.
Yes.
Has it been made clear yet, Max?
No, I'm sorry, if I could just interrupt on that one. No, they don't have to get a CEO, which is basically a certificate of time. They actually go the other way. They can renounce the UK citizenship at $968, is about 200 bucks cheaper. So they actually can do the other way around if they want and sit on the Australian passport.
Yeah, well, that seems like a pretty big move to make to save 200 bucks. Max Nasia, a travel agent with Access Travel on 891 ABC Radio Adelaide, South Australia and Broken Hill. Are we entirely clear why this has happened yet? Because I think at the beginning it really wasn't explained very well.
Yes. The reason they say in the media is for immigration control and stuff, I think it's because the UK government, as we all know, is broke and they're just trying to make money. But they haven't thought it out well, and they say it's for security reasons and stuff like that. I disagree. I don't really think. I mean, I'm not into the security area, but you know, after 48 years of doing this, nah. I think it's a money grabber. I don't think they've actually sat down and worked it out. And the permutations I gave you about Hong Kong, Macau, in British subjects being bought in hospitals, nah, it just sounds really ridiculous. And they're going to lose, I think they're going to lose more on tourism, and even business travellers are saying no to this whole thing because of the fact that, you know, why would you? We have, for example, one of our clients booked a $42,000 cruise, a seaborne cruise from Southampton, spending one night in London, going out in a couple of weeks' time. They're not going. They're going to lose, and the travel insurance provider, so we can't cover your cruise if you cancel your cruise, but that's okay. As a travel agency here, Access Travel's put them into Amsterdam, so they'll fly to Amsterdam. They'll have to pay their own cost to change the airline ticket, so we've actually mitigated that. But, I mean, think about that. That's only one client. You can imagine all the
You're on that.
Talking about the grandparents, I've actually gone to the High Commissioner. We've actually done as much research as we can as an agency, and I believe it's not going to go up to the level of grandparents, but that has not been provided to us in writing. So at this stage that if your parents were British or they can get a UK passport, yes, you are affected, but it has not gone. We haven't got proof, though, that they will not reach out to what we call the grandparents, which I call the second level. And the other thing that's really, I think, is important in the whole scheme of things with the British government is that if they're going to introduce this, or they're doing it in 12 hours' time, whatever, 8 hours' time, I mean, what are they going to do at the airport? Say you arrive at the airport, do they deport you? Do you get a stamp in your passport saying you can't come back in? Who's going to pay for the cost of deporting people? It's all these things. It's the legal requirements. I think the lawyers are going to make good money, but I don't think they've actually thought it out very well at all. And does it go up to the grandparents' level? I believe it does not, but it may.
And a lot of sleepless nights for you as well, Max, as your clients start to get in contact with you. Now, going back to your client that was born in a British military camp in Germany and a bit confused about what their actual position is, I mean, where you come from as well, your citizenship.
Yes, I'm 73, and both my parents were born in Britain, 1914 and 1915, respectively. If I rocked up with my Australian passport, how would they know that I had parents born there, you know, well over 100 years ago?
I have the answer for that.
Oh, good question, Meg. Go ahead, Max.
The answer is there's a thing they've got there called the primary database. So when you walk in, that's why I said to you before about Qantas flying you in and they will have no issue. I disagree with what Qantas are doing, and I do respect what they're saying. When you arrive there, the immigration officer, male or female, can actually tap into their computer, refer to a primary database. Then they'll say, Johnny Smith, your parents are actually born in England, therefore where is your British passport? Then you will say, well, hang on, either I did or did not know this, and therefore I don't have one. Aha. Goodbye. And that's my concern. How deep does the primary database go? Does it go just to the parents' level or the grandparents? And is it concise and is it correct? So you've got a problem there. If your parents were born in the UK, you therefore have the legal right to obtain a UK passport. Goes back to what I said before. You either apply for a new passport or a brand new one, or you renounce your citizenship and you travel with the Australian passport, which will cost you about 40 Australian dollars, 40 Australian dollars, to get an ETA, which is like basically getting a visa to enter England. So if they refer to the primary database, then you do, and everybody else has an issue. And that's another concern of mine. We have legitimate, honest people, clients of ours, who don't even know if their mum was born there or their dad, and they're being realistic, or they've had a strange parentage, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but this primary database thing, that's a bit scary. How do they... Where's all the information coming from? No one knows? I mean, if anyone knew, you would know, Max, I reckon.
Yeah. We don't know, and I don't know. I've actually asked them the question, and one of the MPs from England came back to me and says, how the hell did you know about the primary database? Oh. I said, that's not important. The important part is let's treat our clients with respect and tell us, are you going to refer to it? Do you have the mechanics to refer to it? And let's assume the primary database is there and they can go back one generation two. How do we know it's correct? How do we actually... And then there's going to be an argument on check-in. Can you imagine you arguing with the immigration officer? They'll just say, oh, no, get out of here. Yeah. You're just a number.
Oh, my Lord. This is, you know, all the ancestry stuff we've been doing with DNA whatever else. I bet that plays a role in this somehow.
Yeah. And they don't have their paperwork in line. They really don't have the paperwork in line in London, because we've had many examples of clients saying, we want this, here's our proof. They'll say, no, don't believe you. And can I go back to one of the ladies was commenting on radio saying that, you know, they wouldn't accept her birth certificate, I believe, and I stand corrected on this one, a notary public, in South Australia, in Adelaide, can actually sign off saying it's a legitimate birth certificate and put a rubber stamp, then you go up to Curry Street and they stamp it and stuff like that. I believe there is a way around that may help.
Okay. And Brett, another call from Maureen, who's listening in Mount Barker. So born and bred in England, Maureen, but how long have you been here for?
30-odd years, and I'm also, we became Australians after 3 years.
Yes, and you've got a question for Max?
Yes, I have a full English passport and a full Australian passport. And when
you need to renew your UK passport.
Pardon?
You must renew your UK passport. If it's old, if you have the ability to get a new one, you need to do that. That's your first step. Otherwise, if you say no to that, then you need to renounce your citizenship. And also, that's going to cost you, say, $1,000. So unfortunately for you, especially that you were physically born there with a full birth certificate, they will need to renew your UK passport to enter the United Kingdom.
Even though I keep it up to date, when it nearly runs out, I renew it.
That's exactly what you'll need to do. Otherwise, they can refer back to the primary listing and say, hang on, why did you not renew this? And then you'll have an argument on the immigration counter.
Oh, but it is renewed. I think I've got another 5 years
Beautiful.
On it.
No, that's gorgeous. Therefore, just enter.
So
do
no
not worry
problem.
About it. Enter. Now, and when you come back to Australia, enter Australia with your Australian passport. Then you can go on the left-hand side green channel and get straight through.
Oh, thank God for that.
Oh, good. I was worried for you, Maureen.
I'm 99, so you've relieved me.
Yeah, that's okay. Go grab a cup of coffee. You'll be right.
Maureen, lovely to catch up. And so
it doesn't matter if your mum was born there and you got proof that she, forget about the father for a second, you can apply for a UK passport. And again, because you can apply for it, you must apply for it or get the exemption, because it can actually happen. You can have, say, the mother born in England and the father born in Italy. The fact is that you got that linkage, that parental linkage. You need to follow the procedure of getting a UK passport and or saying, no, I don't want one.
Broken Hill, Max, thank you so much for your time. Good luck to you, because you are going to be one of the busiest people in the state by the sound of it.
Yes, it's really hard. But again, it's just government departments not thinking about business, not thinking about tourism. I think it's really crazy, and they really got to get their act together, not only the UK, but also America and stuff like that. It just, you know, they're going to lose millions, not thousands, but millions of dollars on this, I think.
Thank you very much, Max Nager, who is a travel agent of some decades and obviously, you know, knows his stuff. He's at Access Travel. This text on 0467 922 891. It's quite disrespectful of the UK government to not respect a sovereign country's passport. I think that is the feeling that a lot of people are having at the moment, dear texter. Brian of Somerton Park says, I had planned a trip to Northern Ireland and Spain over the upcoming Christmas New Year period. I've now cancelled the Northern Ireland section of the trip, says Brian. Oh, that must be disappointing, is it? A brand new passport. That's ridiculous what's happened here. And it's thrown so many people into disarray. It's coming up to 8:25 on 891 ABC Radio Adelaide, South Australia and Broken Hill.